The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM. Freeview 277 online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you want to read some tweets?
I do. Well, I mentioned Tracy, the lovely Tazy 64, and she's also wishing you a happy birthday.
Thank you, Tracy.
A lovely GIF or a GIF or whatever it is. And then Neville Gaunt. He, of course, I went out with him the other week.
Well, you dated?
Yeah, and his wife.
Right.
But he...
threesome, eh?
Let's just read his little... because he's tweeted, mindfitlimited.com. My new husband and him are chatting at the moment. And
see, she's trying to get out of it now, isn't
she? My new husband said that what Neville's doing is fascinating and very interesting.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Tracy says the ULEZ charge, have I read this or not?
No.
The ULEZ charge must have had some influence on the sales downturn in diesel cars. Tezza, what do you think?
Without doubt.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Clever, Tracy. And so Field Marshal Brown, who I said, are you listening live? Because he was talking about the copper wire. He says, yes, putting up with the ads. Well, they're very short and they're over now. You can follow Field Marshal Brown, Dawnie Browning, D-A-W-N-I-E Browning. Beauty is the sign of another and higher order. Beholding beauty with the eye of the mind, you will be able to nourish true virtue and become the true friend of God. And they are based in Victoria, Australia. So we've got little Australian listeners.
Yeah, cool.
Good day.
Yeah, good day.
Eucalyptus oil for you too.
Oh, no.
Well, you know I use it.
Oh, no.
Now, oh, I put it down my dunny.
Oh, yeah, right.
A few drops of eucalyptus oil on my toilet brush and down my dunny.
Right. She do it with a koala.
Yeah, a little swirl round. Yeah. Koala comes and does it for me.
Yeah. ASL Recruitment, we'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please. We've been helping people find work from Ashford to Eastbourne since 1999. £10 permanent jobs, manufacturing to marketing, drivers to designers and everything in between. We do our best because people make the difference in every business. Give them a follow on Twitter. ASL Recruitment is their Twitter handle. Hold on. Why is that not showing me?
Well, our lawnmower friend was looking for a job, wasn't he? They need to hook
exactly,
up.
Exactly, yeah. ASL Recruitment is their Twitter handle.
Of course, there is Jobs and Care.
So give them a follow and check them out. Right.
I'm just reading Tazy 64 Tracy because she
was talking about getting a blowout on the in a tire on the motorway as
but
well.
Do you know what? Why Twitter annoys me? Because I can see her number two, but not her number one. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This show gets worse, doesn't it?
Talking about dunnies again.
Yeah.
So she says, not in an Australian accent, she says, here we go. Yeah, I found her first one now. I don't have a spare tyre in either of my last two cars. That seems to be a thing. I never even knew. I had a blowout on the motorway about 10 years ago when I was a regional manager and doing mega miles daily. She says, very scary experience as recovery wouldn't come out to me as I was in a roadworks recovery area. Unfortunately, she continues, I was in between the cameras, so invisible.
Yeah, smart motorways.
Eventually, what felt like hours later, the motorway police picked me up and they left my recovery company. Oh, they let my recovery company know my location. I cried with relief. Also, what happens if you need to relieve yourself? Talking about relief.
Shiwi's your friend there.
I always have one in my car, you know.
There you go.
And she's tuned in today and she has said, please can you give a big Business Bunker shout out and mention thank you to Chris Spitfire, who he's hosting a fab Sound of Spitfire barbecue at the weekend. So that she got to meet John Peters, Cat Flea Massacre, Vinyl Colin.
Oh, she went and met Chris and a gang, did she?
Yeah.
From Spitfire Radio up in Lincoln.
And
yeah.
Mastermind Dar 111, Zandra, Ian, Mike Watts, and so many more. There's some lovely.
Cat Flea Massacre and the crew. Yeah.
There's some lovely pictures of her and Mike, her new husband, and all of them meeting. How lovely. What a Barbie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes. We know Chris very, very well.
I think they must have put a few prawns on the Barbie.
I doubt it. Not in Lincolnshire. It's got nothing to do with Australians.
I know, but I'm still, you know, talking to that Australian person.
I know, you're still playing with your Aussie accent, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Right, have you got... Zina Nirani sent a tweet earlier about her nose.
Oh, yeah, she's had... Well, we've been... It's funny, because I had my eye op. Thank you, AstraZeneca.
You haven't had an eye op,
have
you? I have. We didn't know, did we?
No,
she hadn't mentioned it.
I'm sitting with mega glasses. So Zina, on the same day, had a nose op.
Ah, blimey.
And so we've been sending each other pictures of us with frozen peas on our... Because I'm supposed to put ice on it every hour. I mean,
right.
I can't. Moment. And we've been lying. And also, sitting upright. You can't sleep, can you? I'm on three pillows at the moment. Sitting up, bolt upright.
Anyway... So, Zina had a nose op.
Yeah.
We hope you get better soon, Zina.
Yeah, has she put a photo of her on?
Of her nose op? Yeah. I shouldn't have thought so. She's not like you, is she?
No, not like me.
No, she's a sensible lady.
She is.
Chips and Dinks. Show, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, and your wonderful guests. So, thank you for that. That's Chips and Dinks, Bev and Tony. What else have we got? Martin Reeves wishing me a happy birthday, and Nurse Liz over in the US.
Hello.
Has wished us wished me a happy birthday. It's not your birthday; it's mine.
She's in Pennsylvania 2555.
Yeah, without the 255.
Oh, and Field Marshal Browning says happy birthday to that chap.
Is this a friend of yours as well?
It's just one of my followers, AstraZeneca followers. I have a lot of them.
Whereabouts in Australia is he?
Victoria. It might be a lady or a man, I don't know.
Okay. Victoria, they got trouble there, haven't they?
Yeah, what, with wildfires or what?
No, with politicians.
Or drop bears?
Dan Andrews.
Oh, yeah, Dan Andrews. The good one is Malcolm Roberts.
Right.
So he was speaking up about the lockdowns and vaccines very early on. But they're based in Victoria. But I don't know if it's a female or a man.
Yeah, Battery Gardens have been on with a bit of a rant.
Oh, yeah. Come on, tell us. Cause people...
Well, they operate a sales and repair service for garden machinery in Harwicham. And they're complaining that they've got dozens of bits of machinery, lawnmowers and ride-ons and all kinds that they've repaired for people. But because of the cost of living crisis, people can't afford to pay for the repairs, so they haven't picked them up. So they've had to pay £1,600 to get a secure container to put them all in.
No.
And, of course, they're owed a lot of money for the repairs.
That's not good, is it?
No,
it's a bit like dry cleaners, isn't it, where if you leave your stuff, they can put it in.
I would say sell it. Just sell it. If they're not going to pick it up after a certain period of time, sell it. And
because they're not answering. He's phoning them. They're not answering their phone, which is very rude, isn't it? So
I've just found Zenat's tweet as I drowse, slipping in and out of sleep as I've just had a nose operation. I'm here listening to the wonderful Business Bunker show with Vanilla Web and her.
I don't.
With Vanilla Web and Jules Serkin. Happy birthday, Paul. Jules, I hope you're feeling better.
Well, I thank you.
Oh,
for that.
Don't ask her questions like that.
I mean, really, we should have moved in together and we could have both had frozen.
That would have been useful. Yeah,
frozen peas. Yeah. But I am looking forward to drowsing. I'm staggering through this week. The op was last Thursday, and I have nothing else planned. I've put a line through my calendar as from tonight when I get home.
I'm going to talk to somebody sensible.
I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
I am. I'm going to talk to somebody sensible. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time the absolutely delightful Emily Ray of Plants for Presents.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And move a bit closer to the microphone for me, because you've got a wonderful voice and we want to hear it. So, Emily, tell us about Emily first, and then we'll talk a bit about your business after that.
So I'm Emily Ray. I'm the managing director of Plants of Presents, but we're a family business. So it's me and my mum started the business 18, 19 years ago now.
Wow.
Why did you start it? What was the reason?
Well, it was my mum's brainchild. She was an IT programmer at the time. And if you remember back in those days, Amazon was just taking off.
Mm.
She had this idea of using her programming skills to set up a web shop before people had really started doing that. So we did have...
What's your mum's name?
Isabel Ray.
Isabel, fantastic innovation. Well done.
Is Ray Nike, a Scottish name?
Yes.
I thought it was. RAE is unusual, isn't it? But maybe not so much in Scotland.
Yeah. So, yeah, Scottish grandparents. But yeah, it was mum's idea. She wanted to, as I say, use her skills.
Yeah,
she
absolutely.
She wrote all the original website, and we still use her custom software today on all the stock management. And it was born out of a love of plants and her IT experience. At that time, if you can remember back then, Amazon was just taking off. We looked at beer for presents. We looked at books for presents. We looked at plants was a love of my mum's, and that was the one that took off. Nobody was doing it at that time. That was early days.
So the innovation up front was to have an e-commerce, what become an e-commerce shop. It wasn't called that back in those days. It was just a website flogging stuff. Yeah. So, as well, had this idea about selling via the internet. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And then you looked for what to sell. Mm-hmm. And you kind of... It was probably lucky that you didn't go after beer, because that can cause you grief. Yeah. You know, because of various alcohol laws and duty laws and all the rest of it.
Yeah, but plants are hard to transport. You know, they can go off in the lorries. And
yeah, but you don't have, what I'm saying is, you don't have all the legal nonsense to go with flogging a plant that you do with flogging a bottle of beer to someone.
True.
Well, that's all overcomeable. I mean, I have a personal license and I can sell gin with our lemon trees now.
Right. Yeah.
So. Oh, I say.
So we do, you can overcome those things, but it was just probably a combination of skills and experience and the thing that people were looking for. You know, nobody was doing it at the time. Nobody had solved the problem of putting plants in boxes and making sure that they get there at the other end. Yeah. Well, beautiful. It's supposed to be a present. It's supposed to come out of the box looking really special. It's not going to be smashed or and we had to solve all those problems.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, because nowadays with e-commerce, it's all drop shipping. So you find someone that supplies plants somewhere and you just send the orders through to them. But I'm sure you didn't do that when you first started.
No, we started off on the traditional kitchen table business, and then we grew and expanded and bought the nursery in Sussex in 2006. So it took off really quickly.
So you're growing your own plants?
No,
on the whole?
We grow some of our own plants, but we mainly work with good nurseries. So we have really good relationships with nurseries up and down the country. I dropped in on a supplier on my way here this morning.
You'll have to go and see my friends at Badgers Hill, which is around Chilham area.
Okay.
They've got a beautiful, beautiful nursery.
Yeah.
I'll give you his number after.
That'd be great. But we work with a whole range of nurseries now across Europe, across the UK, and we do that whole process. If we look after the plants on site, we've got a great team of people now who are trained and skilled and check and wrap the plants properly before they go out the door. And then it's interesting what you were saying earlier about that disconnect a lot of people are feeling with big companies and how angry they are that the customer service is
absolutely
not there.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of older customers. We have a phone line. We have, you know, three nice ladies who answer the phone and talk to you like you're a human being.
How novel.
And people like that experience. And we handwrite the greeting card. It's not the most efficient way. We could print it on a piece of paper, but from our experience, when it's a gift, people like the personal touch.
How nice.
And so we try and sort of stick to what Isabel and I originally wanted to do, which is a service we'd want to use. We love plants. I want plants for my birthday. I want plants.
Yeah, I do. Do you go into flowers or plants?
Just
only
plants.
Right? Yeah. That's good, because there's a big flower market that's probably taken care of, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've learned over time to sort of specialise in, you know, what we're good at, which is a plant that's a gift, that's and the whole delivery service. It's not just the plant, it's making sure it's
and are these just indoor or outdoor or anything?
Indoor, outdoor, do a lot of edible plants. We do grow some of our own chilies. We do lots of weird and wonderful herbs and yuzu trees.
Wow.
Hey, come on. Jules over here, she'll be buying plants from you now to make her own chemistry sets with. I'm fascinated by edible plants. Mm-hmm. What are edible plants? I mean, I'm taking it you don't mean, you know, like apple trees or whatever.
Well, there's a whole range of things. So one of our biggest sellers is the curry leaf plant. So it's the Moraea, it used to be called, it's now Bergerina. But you And Maria Kernagy is the Latin name that we always used to know it by. But it's the herb that's used in traditional curries. It's really hard to get hold of. There's been restrictions on the import for a long time.
Why is that? Why are they restricting it?
So several years ago, there was a beetle found in some of the leaves.
Was it Paul, George, John or Ringo?
For goodness sake.
And so Arthur restricted the import of the leaves as well as the plants.
Right. Which country really do they come from?
India, usually.
I thought so, yeah. Any part of India or southern? Or
Sri Lanka and India and the southern part of India.
Okay.
But there's been problems importing them. So we can grow them. We've spent a long time getting that right and increasing production because they're so popular. And now they're one of our
best. Do you grow that in a hothouse type environment?
So we've got we grow them in our greenhouses, in not heavily heated, but in a warm greenhouse environment.
Do you pump a lot of CO2 in there?
No, we don't. We're on biomass. We've got our rainwater harvesting.
Good girl.
I'm being facetious because I know a lot of growers, they have to put a huge amount of CO2 into a greenhouse to get things to grow, certainly way above normal levels.
That's on a larger commercial scale. So we are growing on quite a small scale. So we don't have the enclosed environment that you would be talking about there. We're looking at solar. It's definitely something that
I've got three numbers I can give you to get different quotes.
Yeah. So we're at the looking into that at the moment, and really we've had a couple of really turbulent years that we all have. It's actually horticulture's come back to the front, which is really nice to see.
I think during lockdown everybody discovered outdoor space and gardens.
And that was really good for business. And it's been nice to see people reconnecting with nature with plants and their own gardens.
Do you sell fruit trees?
Yeah, we do. Sell apples, figs, peaches in season. We do a lot of grapevines. Right. We do pomegranates.
Right.
We do quite a few things that are a bit unusual because
I just
wanted to be sort of a bit special.
I just bought three espaliers because I told you off air that we've got a very small garden. And cherry tree and two apple trees. I can't remember the varieties. And the cherries, before they're even ripe, the birds nick the whole lot. Very annoying. So I'm going to net it next year and then probably pick the birds out of the net, which will be not very good. But I think espaliers are really popular if you have a small garden.
Absolutely. We do a lot of very dwarf patio fruit trees. So patio peaches and apricots in season are really,
Have you got any of those apple trees that have got three varieties on, which I am wild about?
We've looked at them. It's whether you get enough crop off them to make it
viable.
It's something that we wouldn't rule out, but it's making sure that it's not just a gimmick. It's something that people will like and recommend to their friends, that our business in 5 years' time, because the plant's still going well, and we have a lot of long-term customers, and we want to sell a service that people like and want to keep recommending, and that's how we've grown over time to where we are. So we do see that as being very important.
So what are your best sellers indoors and out?
So our most popular plant year in, day out is a lemon tree, 3 foot lemon tree, a variety called Lemon Four Seasons. People just can't get enough of them.
Really?
It's surprising how well you can grow lemons in the UK.
I murdered one.
You don't murder them. I'll send you some instructions. There's a whole video.
Well, it might have been a bad... It might not have been a good variety.
No,
I've
had lemon trees that grew okay. Yeah. Are you primarily growing them indoors or out?
So they just need a bit of frost protection.
So you can fleece them.
Certainly in a coastal location, you could have them outside for most of the year and then just protect them from frost in the very coldest.
I'm doing very well with Mr. Banana, tree.
I had mine indoors in the kitchen and I had a massive crop of lemons on it. It was fantastic. And then they died, obviously, because I kill everything. The only thing I can basically just about manage to keep alive are cacti. Yeah. And even them struggle sometimes.
Well, maybe you need a lemon tree for your birthday with some proper instructions.
So lemon trees are popular. Anything else?
What about climbers?
Just let her answer the question.
I'm asking her, what about climbers?
Climbers are popular, but at certain times of year. So
I love a scented climber.
We have a real focus on seasonality. So we'll have climbers in the spring and the summer. At Christmas, poinsettias will be the most popular. We do a lot of bulbs and planters and sort of ready planted arrangements for people to gift a sort of block of colour straight away. Citrus is about 40% of our turnover.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, citrus trees and large lemon trees. Large lemon trees are our particular bestseller.
Wow. And going back to your edible plants, so we know about the curry plant and all the various mint plants that you can get, because you can get pineapple mint and all these different ones. Mm-hmm. Nasturtiums I planted in a pot, didn't do well with them, and then my friend who's a gardener said just put them in the bare ground, they'll do better. Do you know about nasturtium?
So they can dry out in a pot and they're quite greedy, but they self-seed, so I love them. I don't sell them because they don't look showy enough or last long enough, but I grow them at home and they've just popped back up again from last
year. You can eat them, can't you?
That's what I'm saying, edible.
It's flowers.
They're so pretty. Yeah. Yeah. So pretty.
So it's the nasturtium flowers in a salad that you would eat.
Yeah, the first time I served my now partner of 10 years a salad full of edible flowers, he was like, what are you trying to feed me?
There's a slug in here.
They're so dainty and pretty,
and
aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm a big eater of dandelion leaves. I eat them all the time.
Yeah, very good for you.
Yeah, they're very good for you. What about...
not near a dog walking path, though.
No, not there. What about roof terraces? Do you do stuff for roof terraces?
Yeah, I mean, because there's a lot of people in urban environments who don't have a big space. Olive trees, we were talking about earlier, would be good for a roof terrace. A lot of the potted or dwarf plants, figs would do well in a pot. Evergreens, you've got camellias, you've got a number of things that you can grow in a pot on a roof terrace. So absolutely, we have about 100 different plants on the website at any one time.
Wow.
But they change from week to week, so we will sell from we will buy from the best nurseries and sell what's looking good at the moment, and then when they're gone we'll move on to the next thing. And it's nice, you know, it means that you've always got a different range of variety, and then you've got your sort of staples through the year.
So I was going to ask you, Emily, how you kind of plan to innovate with plants. You know, do you spend a lot of time at the Chelsea Flower Show and gardening exhibitions looking at what's coming along?
Does it
change? You know, does the plant market change drastically from year to year as things become popular and lose their popularity?
There's definitely trends, like everything. So Chelsea will lead trends, but there are also innovations. So plants are being bred all the time, so you're getting better and better varieties. The citrus varieties that we have now are much better than they were 20 years ago. They do better in our environment. They've been bred to grow well in the UK. The same with a dwarf plants for the garden. The dwarf market has really expanded, and there are a lot of really good breeders, as I say, both in the UK and in Europe, who are developing really interesting plants. And so these are starting to come into the market. For us, you know, we're trying to capture people's imagination, and we are an e-commerce site, so we're trying to get our presence known. We're only still, you know, there's lots of people who don't know about us, so we want to introduce people to gardening, and however small that is, whether it's just one plant or a bigger garden, and there are so many benefits from that, and we're seeing that with business as well. And one of the things that we're seeing a increase in is the attention that businesses are giving to...
Excuse me, is that your phone?
Yeah, but it won't stop.
Turn it off, please.
Well, it is off, it's on silent.
Well, why can I hear it?
Because it's a video playing that shouldn't be. Well, I don't know.
I'm going to turn your microphone off until you sorted that out. Sorry, Emily, you were saying.
Yeah, just we're saying that businesses are starting to use plants a little bit more as gifts, and that's been really nice, certainly since COVID times.
Okay.
You know, in the pandemic, we saw people starting to really develop well-being gifts to their staff, or to develop relationships with
clients.
You know, we're realizing after this difficult period that relationships in business and in staffing, it's really important. You want
absolutely
to nurture those.
Yeah.
So we've seen a bit of a rise in that. Which is
I think the difference between buying someone a bunch of flowers and a plant is a plant has a bit more longevity. Well, as long as you don't give it to me, has a bit more longevity than just a bunch of flowers.
Yeah, plus, you can get roses with names, can't you?
Yeah.
You know, like the Graham Rose, and you know, as memorials and all sorts.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tailor it to the kind of person. You can buy them something for their desktop, or something that's, you know, they like cooking, so you buy them a chili plant,
yeah,
or you want to reward hard work, and you know they're enjoying their garden, and you buy them an olive tree.
When you sell a plant, a pot plant, do you actually sell them with upmarket pots, as it were? I mean, is it, do you see where I'm coming with this?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
You know, normally if you buy a pot plant, it's in a plastic flower pot, yeah. But do you actually sell them with ceramic pots and things?
So you have a choice on the website, and you can choose. We have a big range of really nice, sort of simple, stylish ceramic pots. We've got seagrass is very popular
beautiful
at the moment, and metal baskets, rustic pails,
right,
all kinds of different choices. And we work quite hard on the sustainability. So we don't have any plastic bags in the packaging, don't have any plastic. We haven't done for several years. And people like that sustainable option as well. When, especially when you're putting your company's name on something, you want the end product to be sustainable.
Absolutely.
How about potting on? Because I always find that really difficult. So if you got it in a plastic pot, then it's quite easy. But if you actually put it in a big terracotta pot, I've got some that need potting on. I think I'm going to have to either you break your back trying to get it out, or you have to break the pot to get it out. Even if you soak it, it's sort of wedged in. That a thing?
Yeah, it can be difficult, especially if it's a bigger plant, and sometimes you might need a bit of help, especially if it's a big tree. You can usually tap them out of the pot, and sometimes there can be an argument, especially if you don't want the tree to get too big, to cut off some of the older soil and the older roots and then repot back into the same pot. There is an argument
if you've
got a really big plant that you don't want it to get any more money.
So you're almost bonsaiing it in a way.
Yeah, replacing the nutrients, because a plant in a pot will need nutrients.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can repot if you want to encourage it to grow, but if
or
you don't
want to... Or just take the top soil away.
You want to keep it a manageable size but keep it healthy, then one option is to trim down the root ball and put some extra nutrients, some extra good compost in there to and some feed to give it a nutrient boost.
That's a very good tip.
Talking of that, do you sell bonsais?
We don't.
No.
I've killed them.
They're very pretentious, aren't they, bonsais? So really, you know. Yeah.
They're very specialist, and they are perfect for the right kind of person, but they are real investments.
And
they take a lot of patience, probably more than I've got, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. They take a long time, an awful long time to grow. Yeah. Fantastic. And so you've been in business quite a long time now.
How's it, I mean
most of us in business have struggled over the last couple of years for all the kind of things that have gone on. How are you feeling about business now?
I think it's been a, for us, as I say, we were lucky. You know, a lot of industries were really suffering in the pandemic, so we had the opposite problem. I had a young baby, I'd just given birth in February 2020, I was back at work trying to manage, do we have people in, do we not have people in? So we had, and then we, and then our orders went through the roof because nobody could see their loved ones, so they wanted to send gift. But we did a lot of change, and actually in some ways it's made us stronger because we went up and then we've settled back down again to, and we've had to go through a lot of change. We've had to look at all our costs again with the rise of energy prices. That's, you know, that's been a rise of costs of our some of our containers coming in have gone right up, the cost of compost, the cost of plants, the cost of bringing plants in post-Brexit. There's an additional cost there. We've had to do a lot of change. But in a way, I feel like it's made us stronger because I feel that we're in a good place now going forward. The horticulture market's had a strong year. The suppliers that we deal with in the UK, I spoke to somebody this morning who's 35% up on last year. You know, we're still in a really strong position, and you can't buy. You know, a lot of good growers have sold out of their stock at this point in the season, which is excellent. That means they've got it right.
Okay, yeah.
So I think horticulture has had a bit more time in the spotlight, which is only good for us. I think online is still strong and it's still where, you know, people are buying. I buy more and more online myself.
Yeah, sure.
It's a lot easier to send it than to lug it home in your car, isn't
absolutely.
It? Like,
yeah.
You
absolutely.
You know, you're trying to cram it in your sports car or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, so, Emily, if I wanted to do something really, I wouldn't do this, yeah, but if I wanted to buy her a birthday present, I wouldn't, but if I did, yeah, and I'm thinking about it, what's the kind of lead time that I need to practically think about in terms of ordering someone a plant?
Well, this is why it's quite handy, so you can be a little bit last minute. You've got up until 3 o'clock to get a next day delivery.
Oh, wow, okay.
So if you've forgotten... And I do know people who have done this, who've forgotten, sent a plant, they said, oh, I'm terribly sorry, the courier's late. I definitely ordered it on time.
Yeah.
But we can turn things around pretty quickly. And we have, the nursery is full of nice plants that you can pick from that day. You can order it for next day delivery. We're coming up to Christmas. We will have a lot of people who are organised and do all their Christmas shopping early. And then we will have people who are ringing us up or placing an order online at 2 o'clock. On the 22nd of December, saying, can you get it there for Christmas? And we will. So.
Cool. While you were saying that, I got to tell you a funny story from this morning.
Yeah.
My eldest son and his family live in France. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They always send me birthday cards via Moonpig.
Yeah.
Moonpig are always late. I get my card this morning on time. Yeah. I open it. Jamie has written a message to me on one half and a message in the card, and it says, he made Moonpig write this in the card. It says, dear Moonpig, if this doesn't arrive on time this time, I'm going to Funky Pigeon.
Do you think that's why it got there on time this time?
And I got it on time for the first time ever. Which I thought was quite smart. Yeah. Okay. So you can do last minute deliveries if we need be. So that's always worth remembering, folks. If you're stuck for a present and you're running out of time, plants for presents are the place to go.
But don't leave it till the 23rd of December because it will stress them. Yeah. So when you're watching gardening programmes, who do you follow? Because I saw you grimace when I said Monty Don. I'm actually wild about Monty Don. I love his...
I know, but I've met him and he wasn't very... Anyway, there's lots of lovely people out there. Chris Beardshaw's lovely.
I've worked with Chris Beardshaw. He did my garden years ago with the Flying Gardener.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Flying Gardener years ago? You're probably too young. That wouldn't work now, Flying Gardener, would it, with the petrol and eco. And so he flew into my garden and did my garden for me. And he was the one that planted from Brogdale, obviously near us, the three-apple tree. Sadly, we moved, so I won't ever know if the three-apple tree is still producing. Yeah. But you like Chris Beardshaw, yeah? Who else?
I don't have a lot of time to watch the gardening programmes. Mm.
You're too busy potting up.
So, but there's lots of new people coming through. Mm. I do like James Wong. He always does interesting programmes.
But Monty Don, no, because I kind of like his upper class lisp, you know, he's got and I like it when he just emanates around the corner with Nigel or whoever the Labrador is now, the retriever with his wheelbarrow. I love the way he...
My main bugbear is I've learnt a lot over the last sort of 18 years about growing citrus trees.
Yeah.
So, and we sell 10,000 trees a year, so I've got all the experience of our customers as well as our own nursery experience. Yeah. And what Monty Don says is just wrong.
Oh,
and I get it quoted at Monty. Me all the time. And Monty. So that's my main bugbear. So he says things like, "Oh well, you should, you know, keep grapefruit trees outside, and they're the hardiest, and lemon trees are the easiest. Then grapefruit is not the easiest one to start with." So it's just a professional difference.
Right, that's very interesting. And have you ever watched?
Hold on. I'm not interested in television. I'm interested in grapefruits. Yeah. You sell grapefruit trees.
Very good for adults.
But grapefruits are quite big things, aren't they?
So grapefruits are quite... So it's a difficult one to grow because the tree's got to be a decent size to hold fruit on it. And because they're the bigger leaf citrus varieties are generally a little bit trickier to look after. They're a little bit more susceptible to some of the greenhouse pests that you can get.
Yeah.
So I would say grapefruit is great for a citrus collector, but it's not the first citrus tree to start with.
I'm just amazed that it would grow in the UK. I've never really thought about it before.
Yeah, they will. Yuzus, which are the sort of, you know, really popular Japanese fruit, are surprisingly hardy. And I had a customer in Yorkshire who had one in an allotment through Beast from the East a few years ago. And, you know, we say, oh, well, they're hardy down to -5. And this guy had it out to -15, and it survived.
I was in the Lost Gardens of Heligon in Cornwall a few years ago.
It still hasn't got out.
Yeah.
And
in their orangery and all that area, they were growing pineapples and bananas. And I go, really?
I can sell you a pineapple with a pineapple plant with a little pineapple on that you can grow on your windowsill.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm loving this. This is bonkers.
And would you be able to eat it?
Yeah, you can eat it, but it's small. Wow. So it'd be about the size of your fist.
That's nice.
You can absolutely. Bite size. It's great for kids, you know, teach them where fruit comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did years and years ago, we did a promotion with Dolly where they were doing fruit, a new fruit pineapple yogurt, and they sent pineapple plants with all their press releases to all the journalists, and it was a great little tie-in.
Wow, fantastic.
That is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch The Wild Gardener? It was an Irish guy. It was on BBC Two, and he was left a plot of land, and what he did, I don't know, it was just outside Ireland, Dublin somewhere, what he did with that plot of land was absolutely stunning, and the stuff he grew and eco, and I loved that.
Wow.
It was filmed in a very different way to all the BBC stuff, all the twinkly music and that. Check him out, The Wild Gardener.
Mm.
If you don't mind, Emily, I want to change tack just a little bit based on something you said earlier. And the reason I want to ask you about this is because pretending to be a business show, we have to kind of make an effort to be a bit businessy every now and again. You made reference to the fact that you bought a nursery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
In 2006.
Right. So a fair while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Without giving anything personal away or too much like that, how did you find the process? Can you just step us through the thinking behind it, what you then did, and how you made that transaction work? So what I'm thinking of, you know, you sat around one day and go, oh, we really ought to own a nursery. Yeah.
So we'd got to the point that my mum, I'd moved back, I'd worked in marketing, then I'd worked away as a windsurfing instructor, and then I'd come back to launch the business.
Moved
back to my mum and dad's house at the time to get the business off the ground. We had plants everywhere. After 18 months, by the second Christmas, you couldn't get up the stairs because there were plants on every step going up. So it was obvious we needed new premises.
Right.
So we got a map and we drew a line. And my mum convinced my dad that we needed to take the next step with the business, which was a big ask because he was he's sadly no longer with us, but he was a wonderful man, and he was working as a mentoring businesses and SMEs at the time, and he had to up sticks, and we got a map, drew a line, where are we going to go, and we started looking at properties, and we looked at this place and looked at that place, and then we came across this really rundown nursery in Sussex, and I found it, and I was like, look at this place, this is perfect, this has got the size, it's got the connections, it's got all this glass, we could do all these extra things. And it was crazy because it was at that point it was 2.5 acres under glass from a little house.
That's
to this
huge. Right.
Yeah, and old and needing loads and loads of work. And there was a house on site for my mum and dad to move into. But it involved convincing my dad to sell the sensible house in Surrey. And
buy a rundown hovel.
Sussex.
My mum said to me, well, it's got a potential to have a little bit of a, you know, it could be a millstone round our neck. You know, we could, you know, this is all their savings that I didn't have. I was
a windsurf instructor.
I was a windsurf instructor. Yeah, yeah. I didn't have a lot of capital to put into this venture. But we decided to do it together. And it was the best decision. And we're still developing it. We're still looking at ways of improving it and modernising the structure. But we needed to take that step. And it was a big step. And it was a big risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can public go to your nursery?
No, we deliberately... we probably will start doing open days again. They were successful when we did do them. But no, we're just mail order only. We've got a little team of people outside a village, and all
that. That's nice that you give locals work as well with your team.
For various reasons, which I'm happy to go into if we had a lot longer on the show, but for various reasons, I'm fascinated by this process. The nursery that you found and subsequently acquired, was it up for sale at the time, or did you have to kind of go and badger them into selling it to you?
Actually, it had been on the market for really quite a long time.
Right, okay.
But we had only just started looking, and we were looking at more sensible commercial properties. Right. But this one had the
potential.
Space, and it's in a beautiful area, you know. It's it appealed to us on more than one level. And also, when we took it over, we grew organic veg in the greenhouse. We had more growing space than we needed. We now rent some of our greenhouse out.
So you're doing a veg box scheme? Or?
We were growing veg, and then we decided to concentrate on the main business again, Plants of Presence, and we now rent out a greenhouse to another really good set of farmers who grow salad crops and tomatoes and stuff in part of the greenhouse.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Emily, a fascinating story. Brilliant business. I love the innovation from your mum and the fact that you all managed to schmooze your dad into coughing up and moving.
What amazing parents.
Yeah.
Amazing. We need a mention to your dad.
Yeah.
What was his name?
My dad was Dr. Alan Ray, and he was there. He was a wonderful man. He's very much missed.
What amazing parents.
A fantastic story. Thank you for sharing it with us. And we now know where to get our last minute presents. and a lot of ideas that maybe people haven't have thought about, like in corporate presents and promotional things. So some fantastic ideas there as well. Emily, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Give us a shout out for your website so that people can come and buy their plants from you.
So the website's plantsforpresents.co.uk. We're also doing a promotion for our business customers at the moment. So if you go onto the website, there is a page for the VIP Business Club where you can sign up and get 10% off all business gifts.
Okay.
And you get a little card and a free plant, and anyone's welcome to go onto the website and put in your business details, and we can get you signed up for that.
Fantastic.
VIP Business Club. It'd be great to have people on there.
Yeah. Do you do rubber plants?
We do.
Good. We need rubber plants. We need to grow our own tyres. Yeah. Cool. Emily, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But for the moment, Emily Ray of Plants for Presents, thank you so much. There is a link, by the way, to the website on the Kent Business Radio website, and that will stay there forever. So if you want to find that link, it's there.
I'm just thinking what a lovely place it must be to live with all the plants, all the green and flowers around you. Just
absolutely
beautiful.
Right, we haven't got very long and we need to catch up a little
bit. We've had a tweet from Battery Gardens. They are Battery_Gardens, and they're saying Formula E has developed Aquafuel to power the generators to power the battery cars.
Right.
Aquafuel's technology allows glycerine to replace diesel, increasing efficiency and dramatically cutting pollutants such as NOx and particulates by over 90%.
Wow.
Wow, so that's great. Thank you. I have retweeted that.
Right, cool. Networking at Mount Vineyard. This event welcomes local businesses and individuals to network, but whilst walking. Yeah. So you network face to face while going for a walk, offering an opportunity to build valuable business relationships while enjoying a lovely walk and talk. The walk will take around 1 hour with lunch provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. This is taking place on August the 25th, 10:30 until 12, and you meet in the car park at the Mount Vineyard in Shoreham. I'm sure you know where that is, Jules.
Shoreham, yeah.
That's near me. I might go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that would be great. You could walk along with one of your plants, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You could walk along and point at plants and tell people what they are.
Turkey Meal sponsors have successfully sponsored the Bearstud Classic Car Show, raising over £6,000 for Kent, Sussex and Surrey Air Ambulance. So well done. And the Bearstud Car Show has been a regular feature on the Kent social calendar for about 15 years. but this year's event has been the biggest success so far.
Fantastic. Orchard Employment Law presents a must-attend webinar on employment law updates for employers. Orchard Employment Law, a leading UK employment law and HR consultancy, is thrilled to announce our exclusive webinar on employment law updates. This timely and informative event is scheduled for the 10th of October and is targeted at supervisors, middle managers and business owners. The webinar will be hosted by Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, a multi-global award-winning businesswoman and figure in the field of employment law. Known for her engaging and insightful presentations, Gemma has been a trusted advisor to numerous businesses across the UK, including all of mine. Registration for the webinar is now open on Eventbrite. Simply type in Orchard Employment Law on Eventbrite to find and book the event. The cost of the webinar is a measly £60. Special discounts are available for existing clients, making this an even more valuable opportunity. So do get along to that, because there's been a lot of changes in employment law in the last year or so.
And Kenton Medway Business Summit, 12th of January. So this is the diary date for next year. Bringing together businesses, academia and strategic partners, you can be part of the conversation. You can book early to secure your ticket and receive £10 off the ticket price if you purchase before the end of September. So that's the Kenton Medway Business Summit on the 12th of January 2024. Details on Kent Business Radio.
Yeah, that takes place at the University of Kent, Kent Business School in the Simpson Building. I think that will be the seventh year now.
Running.
Yeah. So what else you got? Oh, I've got Marsh Network. The next Marsh Networking event is at the Ship Inn in Dimchurch on the 24th of August, 7:45 till 9:15. You can find out all the details and book your ticket by going to marshnetwork.co.uk.
And Tracy Ferguson at Tasey 64 says it's really interesting information about the curry leaf plant. And ha ha, Jules, very quick, read the Beatles. And she says also, what great customer service from Emily and the team. Lovely interview.
I'm a great believer that things go in cycles, and we've gone far too far, as Terry was mentioning earlier about car dealers, as Emily mentioned, that there's virtually most corporates don't offer any form of customer service any longer. Exactly. You just feel like the customers are a nuisance.
Including the supermarkets where you have to do your own groceries now. Check it out yourself.
Absolutely. I think businesses that offer traditional customer, human-based customer service are going to come back to the fore, because people want it. They don't want to deal with some, you know, with a computer or someone that goes, I can't help you because the computer says I can't help
all
you.
All those awful chats that you have,
chatbots.
Oh, yeah. They drive me mad.
Yeah.
Have we got time for some more? Krista Cloutier has been actively involved in the contemporary art world for many years through her career, and is the founder of the Working Artist Masterclass. It's an online business academy for visual artists, and she's now organising a workshop scheduled to be held at the Margate School, which is on the 16th of September. And without hesitation, we wholeheartedly recommend participation in this workshop. So if you're a creative person who suffers from overwhelm, do you have too many ideas that never get finished, or are you stopped by a lack of confidence? Then this workshop is for you. So that's in September on the 16th at the Margate School, and it's Krista Cloutier, and she's the founder of the Working Artist Masterclass. Details on Kent Business Radio after the show.
I don't think you read the tweet from Wayne.
No.
Wayne Cunnington.
I've seen it.
He says, happy birthday, Chief. To the Business Bunker. Thank you, Wayne. Lovely show again. Very interesting to hear about the status of cars coming in the UK. And brilliant talk from the plant supplier. And he says, g'day, Bruce. I mean, Jules.
Do you know, that hasn't even come up on my timeline.
Well, there you go.
But isn't Twitter odd?
I don't think he tagged you in it, that's why.
Oh, but he's
said talking
g'day.
About you, not to you.
Yeah, g'day, Bruce, to you. And there's a pet to grow your contacts. This is Marsh Network, East Sussex and Kent at the Pet Village Hall. That's PETT, 10:30 on September the 5th. You can book by going to www.marshnetwork.co.uk.
Cool. Battery guard machineries have been on. As you probably know, Mopower, which was the name of the company, have sold our petrol-based business, and going forward, we're only selling or repairing battery-based guard machinery. We deal with all the Chinese battery makers, and pretty much everyone is developing a battery car, little two-seaters. That's a sit-on mower, that is.
Well, when you drive through London at 20 miles an hour, it's like driving a lawnmower, really. I practically nod off.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
It's fine if it's, you know, if it's busy, but if you've got an empty straight road and you're doing 20, you spend your whole time looking at signs.
Did you see that a bunch of scientists actually produced a report that said, in actual fact, driving at 20 mile an hour makes the toxic output twice as bad.
There's no doubt about it. And it also, it makes the driver fall asleep.
Yeah.
There's no reaction there at all.
Business in Maidstone. Are you starting September with a new business venture? Join our Startup September workshop with free sessions from Maidstone experts. They'll be talking about business planning and funding, accountancy and tax, digital, social media. Plus, you'll be hearing some startup success stories. This is a free workshop for Maidstone-based startups, and a light lunch is provided. It's taking place on Thursday, the 28th of September, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 at the Business Terrace, which is in King Street, Maidstone. And you can find out more and book your place by going to eventbrite.co.uk/StartupSeptember.
And KBS Business Soundbite is a digital transformation. It's on the 21st of September at 5 p.m. BST. Join us, they say, for this in-person event in Canterbury to learn from Kent Business School's leading academic, Dr. Maria Bolter. And she's going to talk about how digital technologies can lead to enhanced competitiveness, productivity and performance. And that's 21st of September at Kent Business School.
Cool. A golf course could soon be home to 12 new glamping pods. The huts, which each measure 10 foot by 20 foot, could provide additional accommodation at the Weald of Kent Golf Course, Maidstone Road, Headcorn. The business, which already has some hotel rooms, said the pods would house golfers on golfing breaks and also allow it to cater for guests at wedding receptions and at conferences. There you go. Mm. Have you read all yours now?
Well, no, but it's 14:58 on my...
It certainly is.
So I don't think I'll be reading anymore.
You say you've packed up for the day, have you?
Well,
2 minutes early.
I'm going to have your
birthday
cake.
She's packed up 2 minutes early.
I'm going to have your birthday cake.
You're going to eat more cake.
Yeah.
Just to annoy me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it seems that's it then. We've reached the end of another show because Jules has gone on to a work to rule.
Yeah.
I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, Mr. Terry Thorpe of DG East Vehicle Services. Thank you, Terry. To Emily Ray of Plants for Presents. Thank you so much. To my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jules Serkin. To everybody that wish me birthday felicitations. Thank you so much.
Felicitations.
Yeah, absolutely. I was amazed I could say that.
Yeah.
Thank you all for your best wishes. I do appreciate it. Also, thank you for your business tweets and emails and for participating in the show. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a safe week, everybody. And we will see you all very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.